Our scripture reading for today is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 21st chapter, beginning with verse 6, and is our Lord's triumphal entrance into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. 221 years ago on this very day, if you were standing on the steps of Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, France, and looked up in the sky, you would have seen a huge hot air balloon. And hanging below that basket of the hot air balloon was, about the size of the piano here, a golden eagle hanging from that hot air balloon, exactly 221 years ago this very day. It had been created for the coronation of the Emperor of France, Napoleon Bonaparte. And did he ever have an elaborate ceremony for his coronation? A special crown had been designed, a special piece of wardrobe, like a large kingly cloak, was placed over him. It had jewels, decoration all over the place, and many, many other things. A special carriage pulled by 8 white horses, and he went all out in order to celebrate his great coronation. People that have done the research on it estimate that it would be about $150 million today for his coronation. Ironically, just a sidestep of history here, that great hot air balloon that marked the beginning of his coronation drifted across Europe, over into Italy, and down into the city of Rome, and they claim it ended up getting snagged and caught on a statue to Nero, one of the great evil kings. They claim that upset Napoleon. So, it was all about him. The whole event was about him. Quite a difference from the entrance that we see our Lord making on Palm Sunday, isn't it? How unlike our Lord Jesus Christ this is, how different his entrance is. There's no special carriage at all. He's riding on the back of a work animal. And on his shoulders, in a few days, will be draped a purple robe to mock him. And then that'll be ripped off of him, and he will have his shoulders ripped apart with whipping. The music that on Napoleon's coronation, they claim that there was an orchestra of 300, a choir of 400. So imagine Christmas at Bethany times about 5 or 6. But what does our Lord hear? Certainly on his entrance day, he hears "Hosanna to the Son of David." But maybe some of those same voices, just in a matter of days, will be calling out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And up in the sky above our Lord Jesus later that week on Good Friday will not be some grand balloon, but instead will be darkness descending at his death. And while his hands are bound, he is crowned with thorns of all things. It was clearly not about Jesus. It was not about him the way Napoleon's coronation was. In fact, it was just the opposite. It was all about you. It was about you and me. And the King of Heaven camouflaged himself in the form of this lowly servant, the son of Joseph and Mary, and comes in such great meekness as he rides into the city of Jerusalem. And yet at the same time, he truly is fully the King of Glory, in whom all power and authority has been vested. So what is he doing here? Why does he have to come and come in this very unique way? What does this say about you and me and our earthly circumstance? Now, you and I don't feel like prisoners. Probably very rarely do we think about ourselves as prisoners. Right now, in Stillwater, Minnesota, is the big state prison, the penitentiary. I just drove by it the other day. And they now allow some of the prisoners to decorate and paint and fix up their cells. And they have nice pictures hanging and various things on the walls. And it's supposed to help them make their prison cell and their prison time feel a little bit less difficult and dark for them. And yet, despite the fact that they have nice decorations or some new color on the wall, they're still in a prison. And the ones who are living there are just as much incarcerated as people down the hall that don't have decorations in their cell. That's kind of a picture of us. Right now, life can be kind of good for us. We have a lot of things in our lives that make us happy and give us pleasure and so on. Life can be kind of pretty at times around us. And yet, because of the fact that all of us have sin in us, I know I certainly do, and because all of us have the future of a death coming for us, the Bible would say really we are prisoners in this world, and that we are incarcerated, and it's something that by ourselves we just cannot get out of. It's easy for us to forget about that because the cell that we're living in can be kind of nicely decorated at times. But this is why the King from heaven must come into this world. And that's why he's here. Because you personally, in your future, have a grave. You have some sort of death that is waiting for you. That's why he's here. And because you and I have some sort of sin staining us on our own personal record before God. That's exactly why he has come here. And because someday your relatives are going to have to pick out what clothes to put on your body before you are taken to the grave. That's why this king has chosen to come into this world just for you. One of our Advent hymns, I just love every time we sing a phrase, "He comes the prisoners to release." He comes the prisoners to release in Satan's bondage held. And that's really the whole mission of this Savior. But he's chosen to come into this world and to do it in a very lowly way, to do it in a way that that is not the way a typical king would be crowned in our world. Earthly kings, like Napoleon, like to dress themselves up with great pomp and frivolous decorations and of their power. Our Lord Jesus comes instead lowly, armed yet with the authority of heaven, but with bare shoulders will go to the cross for us. Earthly kings like to march victoriously after a war is done. And the King of Grace, however, marches in before the war. He goes ahead of the battle and wins it for us, his subjects. Earthly kings use the blood of their subjects to win their wars. The King of Grace uses his own blood to win the war that we need won for us. Earthly kings command their subjects to fight for them, but the King of Grace fights for his subjects and commands them to let him engage in the battle on their behalf. The great pharaohs of Egypt would bury their servants with them. The King of Grace buries himself so that you, his servants, can live forever. So not only does this heavenly king come in this deep humility that we see in our text, but his subjects who adore him, they also come before him in humility, with penitent hearts, sorry for all of their sins, recognizing that they have no right to claim heaven by themselves, but also leaning entirely on his mercy and his marvelous grace that has declared us holy and perfect and righteous in God's eyes and has forgiven us all the sins that would have kept us out of heaven. So Jesus' kingdom operates on all levels in this world in a realm of meekness and humility. Think about how God comes to us in our worship services. It is so foreign to the world's way of thinking because it's so lowly. A little bit of water, some bread and wine that you might have with at a little dinner party. Just some old guy standing and reading words to you out of an old book. This is how God has chosen to have his kingdom operate in the world and how he creates citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Listen to what Paul says. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Napoleon was finally humbled and exiled and sent off to an island southeast of Africa. Christ, on the other hand, by his heavenly Father's doing, was exalted to his eternal throne and the grandeur of heaven, and has gone ahead to make a place for you, his subjects. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Stir up, we beseech you, your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and be saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Go in his peace. Amen.